soul to soul, spirit to spirit, Christ's presence. Well, it's been a couple of weeks since we met like this, and it's time for us to discover, if we can, why some of us are not getting results. The very first principle that we need to understand is this world is the kingdom when we see it correctly. As we have been told repeatedly, no illusion is ever externalized. And I know that this is a hard concept to grasp, and we really only get it when we work with it. And so when we say things such as the world is an illusion, we do not mean this world out here. We have been told in several places that this is a spiritual universe. And spirit is all that is. Yet we continue to see this world and spirit. We continue to experience a duality. What makes the difference? Which world we are living in? What determines whether we are living in this world or my kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, which is at hand and surrounds us now? If you had a problem and you needed a healing, and Jesus Christ were standing in the room with you, or some other infinite way practitioner, who would you approach for that healing? Well, we all know that we would approach Jesus and ask that he heal us. And why would we approach Jesus rather than someone else? Because we know that he had a perfect understanding of the kingdom. We know that he lived and moved and had his being in an awareness of God everywhere, in omnipresence, in omniscience, and in omnipotence. Whereas the practitioner may be, well, practicing. And so we would go for the best. We said in an earlier talk that there can be two people sitting side by side on a bench, and one of them can be living in the kingdom, and the other can be struggling with all of the temporal forces of this world. And yet they are sitting side by side, just a few feet apart. What makes the difference? And the answer is the conscious awareness makes the difference. We have also said that if you are focused on a man, will only see the man and miss entirely the Christ. there were two men that walked with Jesus after his ascension, and they did not recognize him, which strikes me as very strange, very odd. If you lived with someone for 3 years, or followed them all over so that you could listen to them speak, and if they helped you with your spiritual learning, how could you not recognize them? It would be like looking at your hand and not recognizing whose hand that is. It seems like almost an impossibility to me that they could walk down the road to Emmaus, and not recognize who they were talking to. And yet it says very clearly that they walked down the road with this man and described to him all the events that were happening and recently, and they stopped and broke bread together, and when Jesus passed them a piece of bread, their eyes were opened, and suddenly they saw it was Christ. We have examples of this throughout the New Testament. Another one that comes to mind is what we talked about previously, Mary standing outside the tomb, talking with Jesus and not recognizing him, saying, "Where have you laid the Master? If you tell me, I will go and get the body." Looking, talking, interacting with Christ and not recognizing that it is the Christ. Until the Christ says her name, Mary, and suddenly she is awakened. She sees the Christ and she says, "Master." Another example is the end of the book of John, where the disciples are on a fishing boat and they're looking into the shore, and there is a man cooking some fish who asked them, "Children, have you any fish?" "No, we're not doing too good today." "Well," he says, "cast the net on the other side," which is really a clue to focus on something else other than the man. And so they cast the net on the other side, and it says that they were unable to pull the net in because it was so full of fish. And at that point, Peter says, "It is the Lord," and jumps into the water. Now, why could they not have recognized this Christ that they had walked with for 3 years, slept and ate and prayed and worked with? Seems like an impossibility, doesn't it? There are other places too, but it is all pointing up the one principle, which is that the difference between seeing a man and seeing the Christ is your conscious awareness. The difference between walking in this world and walking in the kingdom here and now is your conscious awareness. And so something needs to happen within you in order to develop this conscious awareness of the living kingdom, of the living Christ, omnipresent. And that's what we're going to talk about today. What is it that we need to do to make this inner transformation? From a person that looks out and sees this world, a world of sometimes good and sometimes evil, a world of persons, to that man who has his being in Christ. In other words, to that one who is able to look out and see the kingdom everywhere and see Christ Do you know, if you do not develop this awareness, Christ Jesus can be standing in the very room with you, and you will not see him. You will see a man and pass by and miss the opportunity. But if you see, if you have the eyes to see, that is the conscious awareness of Christ, then there is a great blessing in it for you. So now let us see if we can find out, how do we get this conscious awareness of Christ in the midst of us? There is a pretty precise formula. No, that's the wrong word. There's a precise path that we must follow in order to attain the conscious awareness of Christ. There are things that we must do. And if we do not have the conscious awareness of Christ, if you look around and you are not living in the kingdom some of the time or most of the time, then you must go back and pick up the principles that you have missed. And where do we start? Well, we are told that we must start with practicing the presence. This seems like a basic beginning to the spiritual path, doesn't it? Seems like something we may have left long ago in our walk. But if we did not attain it in its fullness, then we need to go back and shore up that particular principle. So, what is practicing the presence? And why should we do this? Well, remember what the goal is. The goal is the conscious awareness of the living Christ, the conscious awareness of the kingdom of God and our dwelling in it. Now, this conscious awareness cannot come from reading a few books. And this conscious awareness cannot come from listening to someone else that has it. Otherwise, everybody that listened to Christ Jesus talking on the side of the mountain, or in the countryside, would have attained it. Yet it didn't happen. Only those that do the work can have the awareness. And so practicing the presence is where we start to make an inner shift in what we are looking at. We are told to start first thing in the morning. And the example that we're given is, as a wave is one with the ocean, so am I one with God. As a sunbeam is one with the sun, so am I one with God. And we are told to practice the presence throughout our day, before we step outside. Wherever I go, God is. God is the only driver on the road, because God is the only driver. These principles of practicing the presence means that we are beginning to make an inner shift, where instead of looking at this world as perceived by the senses, we are practicing remembering the invisible Christ presence. We are practicing remembering the presence wherever we go, wherever we find ourselves. However, this of itself does not always give us the conscious awareness. We may begin to have experiences such as finding ourselves in the right place at the right time, finding that He performeth that which is given us to do, finding that our day is going a lot smoother than it used to. We may see an increase in our supply. In one way or another, we may begin to have an actual outer demonstration of our inner practice in the presence. But that's not enough. We must go further if we would really have the conscious awareness of the kingdom here and now. And so we pick up practicing the art of meditation. And here is where we go within our being and learn to quiet the senses. We know that the senses, what the senses report, are a world of good and evil. And so if we would be able to see through that glass darkly, then we must begin this art of meditation. And so we start with contemplation. We take a statement of truth, such as, I come at a moment ye think not, and we contemplate it. And this is what we are consciously doing. We are practicing the presence throughout our day, and when we close our eyes and sit down to meditate, we are contemplating some scripture, some facet of truth. And that's as much progress as we have made at that point. And maybe we're not even feeling anything yet. And some of us at this point give up and say, well, nothing happened there, so I guess I'll look in another spiritual movement. I'll find something else. There must be a more direct approach. But those of us that stay with it and persist, something happens. Remember, we are told that Joel practiced meditation 10 to 12 times a day for a few minutes each time for 8 months until he had his first nanosecond of feeling something within. And it was far less than a second, he reports. And so it can take a long time. It can take several months. 8 months, that's almost 3/4 of a year. A year. But if we are faithful and we continue to practice, eventually one day we sit down in our meditation, we take a scripture or a passage or a statement of truth, we take it into our inner temple, we are contemplating it, we are resting back, and suddenly there is a feeling. Something happens. There's a conscious awareness of something that's not human. And it may be very fleeting. It may go by real fast. Or it could descend upon us and just envelop us totally. But in one way or another, we become aware of a conscious, living presence. Now, we have much more than just practicing the presence and contemplation. Now we have the beginnings of a conscious awareness of the presence we have been practicing. And now it's no longer a statement of truth. It's no longer an ideal about truth. It's the actual living presence of truth in our consciousness. And it is coming alive for us. It is coming up out of the tomb. And so this inspires us, and we continue to practice meditation. And it happens again. And it happens again, and it happens again. However, there is still a sense of division, of duality. At this point, we are consciously aware of this world with its good and bad. We are still consciously aware of the troubles. And we are consciously aware in certain moments of another presence. And so we have the beginning awareness of the kingdom here and now, and we have the awareness of this world. And this is where we find ourselves at this point in our journey. And so we return to the books, we attend more lectures, we continue with the practice of the presence and the practice of meditation, and the awareness of the living Christ begins to expand. Sometimes we're not even practicing meditation. We may be driving our car on the way to work, and suddenly we feel the presence overshadow us or flood us with its presence. It's beginning to have a life of its own. It's beginning to function. The Christ is beginning to function our being without our efforts. We start understanding statements such as, I live yet not I, Christ liveth my life. It's a very wonderful and wondrous experience at this point in our journey. Yet we still experience the mountaintop of conscious awareness of the presence and the valley in which we are simply human beings without the conscious awareness. At this point, some of us settle for this. Well, most of the time, life is pretty good, and all of these good things have come to me, and I'll just settle down right here. But for others of us, there's an inner longing to go further. And here is where we begin to have maybe troubles. Because if we decide that we're just going to settle down here, well, the Christ will not allow that to happen. And so now there are troubles that come to us. And we must find a way to deepen our conscious awareness. And so if you are like I am, you return to the books and to the teachings to find out what have I missed? I've had beautiful spiritual experiences. And now these troubles. So what have I missed? And in returning to the teachings, in contemplating, going deeper and deeper into consciousness, it is finally revealed to you the reason for your troubles. and you discover that you are still living a personal sense of life. And so there is a Christ presence, and there is a you. There is an inner kingdom, and what looks like an outer world. And so you discover that even though life was pretty good, you have not yet attained the conscious awareness of omnipresence. You discover that you're going to have to cast off this false sense of self, this false sense of creation. And here is where the inner work really begins to deepen. We discover things. We discover statements such as, "The natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned." We discover that we have a soul faculty called spiritual discernment, and it is going to have to replace our personal intelligence. We discover that this world that we have been enjoying is nothing more than a mental image. Is never externalized, and that it's going to have to go in order to live and move and have our being in the kingdom. Oh, we begin to make all sorts of discoveries, and some of them, many of them, are quite startling. One of the major discoveries at this point is the fact that God's work is finished. It's finished. It's done. This is a finished kingdom. We discover that God has nothing to give us. And that really rocks our world for a while. God has nothing to give. And here I am trying to demonstrate supply, and I'm trying to demonstrate companionship, and I'm trying to demonstrate a home, and I'm trying to demonstrate health. Yet the kingdom of heaven is already finished. Wow, what do I do now? I don't even know how to pray anymore. You have taken my Lord from me, yes. Yes, we have taken your concept from you in order that you might have the conscious awareness of the finished kingdom. And so we, at this point, are making another transformation with him. We are reaching the point where we are letting go of all our concepts that we developed right from the very start when we started first practicing the presence. Now we are outgrowing all of those tools that worked so well for us. We are really reaching the place where we cannot turn back. We are reaching the place where there is about to be an inner transformation. And it is a big one. Because this is the point where we make the transition from being a person practicing the presence to being a avenue of awareness, consciously aware of the Christ living itself. And this is a big, big step. This is the point at which we become aware of our everlasting life, which is in no way a personal sense of life. This is the point when we come to see that this world was never an external world, but a concept, a mental image, or several mental images about my kingdom. This is the point at which we look at ourselves and see that there is no personal self here. And it's quite shocking. My God, wait a minute. If God is the only presence, who am I? And we come to see, not as an ideal, but we come to have the conscious awareness of the living God living us, talking through us, walking, living, being. This is the point at which we die to all that is personal. I have no good qualities. I have no bad qualities. I have no qualities. I, yet not I, Christ. Christ, always Christ. And we really begin to have a conscious awareness, the actual perception, we feel, we see, we know Christ liveth here. This is the point that we have no body, because we come into the conscious awareness that this is God's body, God manifesting as form, God the invisible appearing as form. This is the point that we recognize we have no mind. There's no personal mind. There is an avenue of awareness, the mind that was in Christ Jesus. Just simply an awareness of Christ living itself. This is the point that we understand what the Master meant when he said, you must be born again of the Spirit. Because we have the conscious awareness of a spiritual presence living as us. Now we understand this statement in John 3. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so we understand that to have the conscious awareness of the living kingdom and to be consciously aware of living in it right here as this world or where this world appears, to have the conscious awareness of the kingdom, we must be born of the Spirit. We must see that Spirit is living here. And this is a conscious awareness. It only comes as we let go of and relinquish a personal sense of self, a personal sense of body, and a personal sense of mind. When Christ says you must be born again, or you must die, when Paul says I die daily, this is exactly what Christ means. You must die to all that you are. including all the principles that you thought you were practicing personally. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And so that means if you are living in a personal sense of self, if you are looking out at a personal sense of the world, if you are looking out and seeing persons, that is flesh. And flesh, we are told, is grass. It's here today and it's burned up tomorrow. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, which is eternal. And now he says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And this is an actual, living, conscious awareness that comes to us when we begin to have these glimpses, when we begin to have a conscious awareness of Christ living itself, right where we are. This is exactly how it feels. Suddenly the presence, the Christ is upon you. You know it. No one has to tell you. And yet you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. You know when it is upon you, and that is enough to relax in that great calm, in my peace. This is an actual experience he is describing that will come to us, and perhaps you are experiencing now. You must know that this experience will come more and more until this presence that is upon you is the only presence remaining. And that one which was practicing all these principles has been dissolved. And so you can look for the conscious awareness, the experience of the wind, more and more and more. And right now, it is upon me. I feel it. It's a conscious awareness. Now, your job, when you have that conscious awareness of the Spirit, right where you are, is simply to relax. God's kingdom is finished. In the first chapter of Genesis, we are told God rested. And so God's work is finished. The kingdom is finished. And you live in it. But to be consciously aware of it requires that you relax in the conscious awareness of it. And so when you have this feeling, whether in meditation or just walking around, of the conscious awareness of the presence of God or Spirit or Christ, your job is to relax into it. You see, when we are taking thought about a personal sense of life, whether ours or somebody else's, then we are trying to pull, well, if we feel there's something we are lacking, we are pulling at the illusion, trying to get something we think we don't have. Or if we are wanting to get rid of something, a problem, then we are pushing at the illusion. But the illusion is in the mind. And this whole time that we're pushing or pulling or pulling or pushing, we are not relaxed. We cannot be doing that and have the conscious awareness of my peace. That is why we set the problems outside. That is why when we have the conscious awareness of the presence, we are to relax into my peace, into a great calm. Then, and then only, is the mind functioning as it is supposed to, as an avenue of awareness, conscious awareness of the living God. Your mind, the mind, is not supposed to function as a creator, as a problem solver, as a understander, as a figure outer. No, that's not the function of the mind. The function of the mind now must become, in this part of our journey, a conscious awareness of the living Christ. That is the only function of the mind. And in that conscious awareness, in that resting in that awareness, Christ lives where you are. And in some way that you know not of, harmony becomes apparent. Harmony appears. The Christ harmony appears. Now, you will not know how this happens. That's not the function of the mind to know how this happens. The ways of God are past finding out. The function of the mind is simply to become aware of Christ and the living Christ. The function of the mind is to become aware of harmony appearing. The function of the mind is now to become aware of the kingdom of heaven, where we thought we saw this world. The function of the mind is to become aware of the Son of God, the living Christ, where we thought we saw a personal life. In this state of rest, in which the mind becomes an avenue of awareness, we become consciously aware of the finished kingdom. This is where we get the conscious awareness of the finished kingdom. This is where we get the conscious awareness of Christ living itself. This is where we get that conscious awareness. And so, returning to our beginning statement in this talk today, why would you go to Jesus Christ for a healing rather than some other practitioner? And the answer is because you want someone that has the conscious awareness of the living omnipresence. You want someone that has the conscious awareness of the kingdom of heaven. And so we see that if we are ever, ever going to have the conscious awareness that we already live in the kingdom, if we are ever going to have the conscious awareness of the omnipresent living Christ consciousness, as Jesus did and does, then this very talk today describes how we attain that conscious awareness. And as we can see, it requires a transformation within us. Because although we described it here in just about 45 minutes, it actually takes several years to get from our rudimentary beginnings on the path to that place where we are consciously dying and being born again. It takes several years. And so those of you that are not yet at that point, or those of you that want to be at that point and find that you have missed something, return again to practicing the presence, or return again to your contemplation, or return again to your meditation, and practice it as we have outlined. And you will find that step by step, that Christ within you will lead you to the point where you are ready to lose all that thou hast, sell all that thou hast. You will be led to the point where you really are ready to lose your life and find Christ's life. I hope you understand that this world is the kingdom when you see it with conscious awareness. That any life you look upon is the Christ life when you see it with conscious awareness. I hope you understand that living through the senses, then that's what you will see, is a world that the senses have created. But the world is within you, not without. Living in your soul faculties, in your spiritual discernment, you will discern, feel, sense, know, and behold the finished kingdom. You will live in it. And yet nothing will have been changed except your conscious awareness. Nothing ever needed to change except your conscious awareness. As the glass darkly fades, as your conscious awareness comes alive, you will behold Christ everywhere. And then if you are walking down the street, you will not see the man Jesus. You will know that Christ is with you. And then if you are looking at a person that appears to be dying, you will not see a personal life that is coming to an end. You will have the conscious awareness. Now I'm telling you, this is the conscious, living awareness, not an ideal. You will have the conscious awareness of the living Christ, Christ life. And in your conscious awareness, that's exactly what you will see. And the person that appears to be dying will dissolve, and Christ life will appear right there. In your conscious awareness, you transform the entire world you thought you were living in to the finished kingdom. You transform the personal sense of self into the impersonal, omnipresent Christ life. Now, know that there is inner work. Know that it's all about the conscious awareness of the kingdom here and now. Nothing is going to change except your internal awareness. You're going to step out of a personal sense of self, a personal sense of body, a personal sense of mind. You are going to step out of a personal universe, and you are going to come up over all of that into the conscious awareness of Christ and the kingdom of God. everywhere and everyone. This is the goal, to die and be born again of spiritual awareness. If you are able to see, if you have the ears to hear the living Christ, there is a great blessing in it for you. Thank you and blessings.